Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
I was going to say, that's Rob making tea in the background. I was actually muted because I didn't want to.
I'm sorry. I was going to mute my phone.
What's going on in the background? Marcy's yelling because Raphael Warnock. Yeah, that's two things, but I apologize. Marcy was excited because Raphael Warnock looks like he's going to win. So we're like yelling. We're excited about that. Pull that off. So she's like, yo, and I'm like, ready for the show.
And yeah, my wife and I were just celebrating that a little while ago, too, even though we don't live in Georgia. But it's got a national impact.
It's way too close.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It's way too close.
We didn't keep up on it this go-around. Been kind of busy today, but I'm positive that when I get back home tonight and I tell Mom and Arnetta, we're going to celebrate this one. We were rooting for them. I didn't want that knucklehead in there. Herschel Walker. What an embarrassment.
How was that so close, though?
That's the sad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's all good. Hey, but we're officially back, and it's really good to talk some sports, see your faces, see Curtis, Gary, West Coast. JQ will be joining us shortly. The month of December is upon us, gentlemen, so we have a lot of things to catch up on. So without further ado, let's jump into this. We are celebrating the 289 episode of Talking Sports, the 12th man. We're just flying along, if you will. So let's check in with the fellas. I'm going to check with you, Rob. How are you feeling, sir?
Man, doing great, man. Ready to get the show started. Got a little bowling in earlier with the team. And, yep, ready to have some fun tonight.
Good stuff. Let's check in with the West Coasters. As always, Curtis and Gary, how are you gentlemen doing this fine evening?
Well, you know, today was a wild one for me, with lots of stuff going on, trying to get ready to get out of town and everything. And, you know, I had called Curtis earlier and said I didn't think I was going to make it out to his house tonight. And, the seas parted perfectly for me, and I was able to get over here and, you know, be with Curtis on this glorious Talking Sports holiday season episode. So we're happy.
Yeah, great stuff. I can't wait because there's a lot of things that we're going to definitely dive into. I know we got to talk about NFL stuff. We got to talk about some bowl matchups and everything that's happening too, and I can't wait to talk about what's happening with Colorado and Coach Prawn. So let's dive into that, if you will, too. So I'm always going to throw out the numbers for those that want to check into the show, follow us, all that fun stuff. You can always reach out to us, calling into the show at the guest number, which is the 424-243-9519 number. We always tell you guys to check us out, follow us on Twitter. We are on Twitter, even though you can say what you want about Elon Musk. But we are on Twitter at the number 12 Man Sports. Follow us there. And then we are on Facebook. So if you go to facebook.com/talkingsports, the 12th man, or if you put in 12th man sports, you will find us there. We post a lot of stuff, a lot of love to Rob for posting mock drafts and NBA draft stuff, just little things that we're doing for what's kind of relevant to what's happening too. So that's what we got going on right now. And as we're waiting, let's kind of get to the first topic, gentlemen. And, we're going to talk about what happened with the Titans. They actually fired their GM, John Robinson. And there's been a couple of interesting moves that you'll probably have to talk about, too, from him trading A.J. Brown. You know, some things may be out of control what happened with Derrick Henry, but, you know, the Titans were pretty much on the cusp of doing some great things, but then there's a couple of questionable moves, and things happen, right? But they have definitely, you would think they would have seized certain parts of the division, but we'll see what's happening in the AFC. So right now, I'm going to get your take, Rob, right out the gate as far as what's been happening, because he couldn't quite make that move from good to great. So I'll let you kind of start with that, and then Curtis and Gary, you guys will chime in on that too. So go ahead, Mr. Rob.
Yeah, I think obviously that matchup this past weekend against the Eagles and A.J. Brown just straight up torching them might be the main reason why he got fired, right? I mean, you couldn't work out a deal for this special talented player, and then he just comes up and tortured this past week. I think they had everything to do with his firing, right? You know, you just don't let those kind of special talents leave the building. And how do you not work out a contract for A.J. Brown? And then
right.
He comes back and just torched the organization. Had probably one of his better games of the season against you. So I think they had a lot to do with it. Obviously, they did. They don't have the depth defensively that they've had in years past, too. So I think he might, you know, that could be a part of it as well. But I think the main thing that instigated his firing is them not being able to sign A.J. Brown to a long-term deal. Treylon Burks, obviously, I think he may be a decent receiver. But, you know, he's not going to be an A.J. Brown from the looks like it, right? So I think they had every do with his signing. And then, you know, have they found a long-term answer to the quarterback position? Is Ryan Tannehill the answer yet? Have they done their due diligence in getting the quarterback position, you know, settled for their organization? So I think that had everything to do with his firing. I mean, obviously, they've been a competitive team since 2016. But I think the organization just sees that even though, hey, we are in first place in the division, but not quite where we want to be and not canning in the right direction.
Well, the only thing that I would say about that, you know, is the team is, you know, under him is 66-43, so a winning team, three division titles under him. You can go by every team and dissect them and see would have, could have, should have. And who knows what's gone on in those closed-door meetings. If he was pushing for, you know, this guy to get on his team, or if the owner's saying, oh, no, we're not spending this much. You know, there's always someone other than the GM that can be blamed. And, you know, John Robinson went into the owner's office and said, you know what, you could have, all we had to do is give him $6 million and we could have had him here with us. And, you know, who knows if something like that transpired or whatever. But to fire him in the, you know, the, not really the middle of the season, but season's two-thirds of the way through, I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't think it's, I would have definitely waited. It's one thing if he had been 43-66. But he was 66-43 under him. So he's got to have at least something to do with that. Something to do with
the timing of it is suspect, absolutely.
What's that, Rob?
The timing of it is definitely suspect.
Yeah, that would be the biggest thing. I can see teams making a change and wanting to get better and get over the hump and be into that upper echelon in the, you know, in the conference. But, yeah, timing was horrible.
That's a great
Gary,
point.
Gary, you
wearing
an Adidas sweatshirt and a Nike towel?
What's that?
You wearing an Adidas sweatshirt and a Nike towel?
It's Adidas town, too. And it's also Under Armour's town, too. And it's all, I don't know, there's several of them here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm an Adidas guy all the way. Yeah.
Oh,
I love
wow,
Adidas,
okay.
Too.
Yeah.
Especially with Kyrie, man. That's one of the conversations.
I've got a Nike golf, Tiger Woods golf hat. Everything else is, and I got three Nike golf shirts only because I bought them at this clearance rack at this golf shop. Nike brought in all these irregulars stuff to this one golf shop, and I went over there. I couldn't find anything wrong with these shirts. and they were selling for $5 a piece, so I bought three of them. Other than that, no shoes, no tennis shoes, no nothing, Nike. All Adidas.
Really? Nothing yeah. Nike, huh? Interesting.
Yeah, other than
wow.
that three shirts and that hat, yeah.
Diving that a little later, that's really good. Thanks, Rob, for, again, you know, kind of taking a different route here, a little tangent here, but I was going to piggyback lastly on the AJ Brown thing. just I want to talk about some ripple effects because you nailed it, Gary, as far as the record. But because of that trade, obviously, what happens, you know, immediately AJ Brown signs the extension with the Eagles. The Eagles use those picks to actually trade up to draft Jordan Davis. So you see how that move kind of transcended and made, obviously Jordan Davis has been hurt, but that impact to the defense, that made a ripple effect to what happened right now to the NFL. Like you said, Rob, whenever they trade up and they traded for Treylon Burks, like you said, he is not A.J. Brown just yet. So you have some different situations where, like you said, Gary, you don't know. No one has a crystal ball, but the ripple effects of that trade kind of came back. They were saying that Mike Vrabel didn't know that the trade was going down, but it does look like he knew. But, again, he could have, like you said, figured out a way to make things work because this is an extremely talented player. You gave the Eagles kind of the firepower with, you know, obviously with Devontae Smith and everything like that. You gave them some more firepower. So that's just interesting from that perspective. All right, let's move on here. Apparently that's all you guys got for me. All right. Let's talk about the next thing here. We're going to move on to our next topic, and hopefully you guys are still with me. We're going to talk about Mike White. Is he the answer for the Jets? And this is an interesting situation because we're kind of going to talk about quarterbacks, right? Because you drafted Zach Wilson. This basically had to lose a job in 8 seconds, how he talked about the defense and he was in the cause, and we didn't talk about that last week, but Mike White's been playing well. Same thing that you can talk about what's happening with the dynamics of releasing Baker Mayfield and everything like that. But your quarterback is kind of crucial. So right now, I definitely think Mike White has the locker room and he has the team playing well. Even though they recently lost, that was just a really good last-minute game versus the Vikings. But, yeah, if you're the Jets, I think you found your answer quarterback. But so you, Curtis, Gary.
Well, it's too small of a sample size right now to say whether or not he's the
dude.
Answer, you know. Okay. Let's wait until teams can actually, you know, get some film on him, prepare for him, and then go from there. But you can't just, you know, what, two games, you can't – that's not enough.
That's the eye test, Gary.
What's that?
I said, that's the eye test. I'm just messing with you. Keep going.
You know, that's not enough. That's not enough of a sample size. Wait till they start, you know, game planning against him. They're going to find out his weaknesses. And at that point, if he can make some adjustments, then we can come back and say, hey, yeah, maybe this guy can be the future of this team. But right now, the sample size is too small. My opinion. Yeah. What do you say, Rob?
And I agree with Gary on this one too. He may very well be the answer, but I'm not ready to sign off on that just yet. And this past week, you look at it, he threw over 57 passes, completed 31 or 32 of them, had 300 some yards passing. They seem to be moving the ball, obviously a lot better, but I still think it's a small sample size. Unfortunately, he didn't take care of the football this past week with the two interceptions. And, you know, you can have all the yards in the world, but if you're going to turn the football over, it's not going to be very helpful. And they shot themselves in the foot and had to come back. And they didn't make a run, but they still lost the game. So I'm not ready to sign off on it just yet. But early indications are, you know, he could be heading in the right direction and possibly might be that answer for him going forward. But I'm just not ready to commit to say he's that guy just yet. So I agree with Gary on this. Too small of a sample size right now.
Well, and with
but you
Jets,
do have to
the bar
the
was set
better.
Low. The bar was set low. So
yeah,
it is.
Very
but
low.
What else do you have? What else do you have, though, Gary? He looked better than Zach Wilson in there, though, I would say.
So for right now, he's going to have to be, and he will be. Also, you know, he's going to play. He's going to look at the playbook. He's going to do all the right things where the other knucklehead didn't.
Yeah. He's the only guy playing right now for sure. I think he's definitely earned it all. And especially with as bad as Zach Wilson has been playing. So he's definitely earned this opportunity to be the starting quarterback.
And I get it. You don't know if he's running for Patrick yet.
Well, they said that Wilson was, late to meetings, immature in practices, ranting and raving, being the prima donna, and really not – his nose really wasn't in that playbook like he needs to be week in, week out to be the best you can be. He wasn't. So – either one thing, either two things can happen here.
Sound like
either
Andre when he was our
answer,
quarterback.
What's that?
I wasn't the quarterback.
I sound like Andre when he was our quarterback in flag football.
I wasn't the quarterback. Jay was the quarterback. I was calling the plays, man. We definitely went down the field too, man. They didn't know what to do with us. Then we didn't play defense. That was the problem, you know. And I had Rob.
They didn't know where that ball was going, and neither did Andre, right?
Yeah.
Why are you fighting with Rob, man? We were moving the ball. It was defense. Go ahead, finish your thought. Finish your thought, Gary.
No, either Wilson's gonna either, take this as a aha moment and really dive back into and try and become and true NFL quarterback and all of the dedication and all of those things that it takes, or he's just going to be a footnote for a few more years carrying a clipboard and then be sent on his way. But this, he set the bar low, and this Mike White jumped over that real quick. So right now he is their quarterback, and he's done a better job with them.
Yep. I was just going to say that because it's interesting because, you have a lot of these top quarterbacks and maybe they were thrown into that starting situation too quickly. Zach Wilson is pretty young, so there's still time for him, hopefully, to try to get better. Obviously, I think the offense looks a lot more, with Mike White in there, they look a little more confident. Like you said, the bar's pretty low, but at this juncture, you got to get film on them. Same thing's going to happen, but at least in this instance, he does look like he's moving the team. And then you look at what's happening. I was going to correlate it with Baker Mayfield because you got to keep driving until you find that guy, right? So Baker Mayfield's in Cleveland. Cleveland still haven't – maybe they solved it with Deshaun Watson. We don't know yet. But just kind of an interesting saga, what's happening with the Browns and – you keep drafting so you get that guy. Sometimes you miss. The only thing that's good for, again, Zach Wilson is that he's still a young guy. So hopefully he can kind of watch. This is how you be a pro. This is how you definitely watch film. Stop playing around and take this job seriously. Just don't think everything is handed to you. So you have to earn that. Let's move on to the next topic here with Lamar Jackson and a really serious injury with a strained PCL. This definitely has a different impact as far as the Ravens. And let's go talk about that, Rob.
Yeah, there's a huge blow for the Ravens, right? The Steelers now are starting to play some solid football. They've won a few games here over the last few weeks. And this is a game that the Ravens could easily lose and lose control of the division, right, without Lamar Jackson. The Bengals on the rise right now after beating, the Chiefs. So you can easily see the Bengals possibly taking over this division and repeating in that division. So this is a huge blow. I know he's going to be out this week, but it's easily could miss 2 to 3 games, and that could really cause them to lose the stranglehold of the division. Not that they have a huge stranglehold on it in the first place, but I think it's going to be really a big blow to them in having any opportunity to win this division. I clearly think the Bengals come back and win this division now.
Well, and I would say the same thing. I mean, this is a bad blow, bad time. No, there's no good time to lose a quarterback. I guess if you're going to lose a quarterback for a couple of games, maybe early in the season where you have time to make things up. But as this season is winding down, to lose him for potentially, you know, three, maybe four games.
Right.
That could be devastating to that team.
Right.
And then what
cost
is he going to be?
Cost me a fantasy in two leagues, too, with him being hurt.
Then what is he going to be coming back? Because there's always that, you know, there's always that time frame with any of these players when they come back. They don't typically come back and be at that 100% like they were before. It
right.
takes time. Well, now you're in the playoffs. Now you don't have time
right.
for that stuff. So that cost them really big.
Not every team has a Cooper Rush, huh? Not every team has a Cooper Rush, huh, Gary? You know, so you need somebody to kind of serve.
Yeah, Huntley has been a solid backup for him. I will say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
He has been
We're
a solid backup.
Jones. Yeah.
But, mm-hmm.
but still, you have to change your offense because of who you have in there, obviously. And you know, like you said, you're trying to hold servant. And you're right, Gary, if you get hurt earlier in the year like a Dak Prescott, you're just trying to hold servant. If your backup plays well, then you're right back in. And then you realize, hey, all right, Dak's coming back. The defense is playing well. You have more of a complete team. But like you said, later in the year, it's going to have an effect. Like whenever, you know, the 49ers lost to Jimmy Garoppolo, now it looks like he's going to come back in the postseason. You know, Brock Purdy seemed to play pretty well. But still, you know, that's how the team is built, right? They're going to run more. They got a pretty solid defense. Hopefully you can kind of get by with that. So you're hoping that your team can kind of overcome a lot of the challenges that you're running into because still, you know, talk about quarterback play. I know your favorite quarterback, Gary, Aaron Rodgers, hasn't been playing that well. And then Jordan Love comes in there, starts playing well, then Aaron's like, oh, I'm okay. You know, it's like you see how the dynamics work as far as how important that quarterback is. But it does change a lot of the dynamics of the team. We're going to talk about them Cowboys, if you will. And there's been some reports that they're, like, kind of pumping the brakes on OBJ here. So, apparently, there's some concerns that the Cowboys will only sign OBJ if it will improve this team now. That's kind of from what Jerry Jones. So, let's talk about you, Curtis Gary, thoughts on that, and what that means for all the Cowboys fans out there, and if you agree with that statement.
Well, I'm going to take this in a whole different direction right off the bat, and then we'll get back to the OBJ thing. Curtis and I were talking about Jerry Jones, and we were talking about LeBron James in his press conference. And LeBron James says that, you know, isn't there any other question you want to ask? And they ask this photo that came out with Jerry Jones. He's a 14-year-old kid, of course, but he's in the back of this group of people, and they're blocking some Black people from getting in somewhere. I'm not exactly sure where they were going.
Cool. They're going to school. They're segregation to school. Yep.
I haven't seen Jerry Jones as an owner showing me any signs of that he's a racist, but he hasn't shown me any signs that he isn't either. And with this said, I think he needs to get on. You know, he's been on a couple of little things that he can control himself, you know, his own little, podcasts and his own little Cowboy Network and stuff. But I want to see him go on there, talk to Stephen A. Smith or some of these other commentators and say, hey, you know, I announced I am not a racist and, you know, explain the situation. That's, to me, that's more important than OBJ. To me, it's explaining, you know, where his thought process is. And let a Black person, African-American, Stephen A. Smith, that respects Jerry Jones but is not a Cowboy fan, ask him some hard questions on that, and let's see if he stutters around or if he just answers them honestly, truthfully. That's what I would like to see. Kurt and I were talking about that before that. And Laverne James says at this point, was a diehard Cowboy fan, and he says until Jerry Jones answers these sort of questions, you know, he won't be a Cowboy fan. And I totally understand his point of view. So that's what I wanted to bring up first. Hope you guys are okay
yeah.
with that.
No, absolutely. You make some very valid points. Yeah, you make some very valid points there,
Jerry.
It's really
important for us at this stage to just, you know, every chance that we can get to, you know, bring this to the attention and say, hey, this isn't right, explain yourself. You know, that's what I think it's better for our country, you know, and it's better for us all just as individuals to just know where people stand with that. And that's where I stand with it. And that's where Curtis stands with, right, Kurt? You say,
yeah,
he's shaking his head,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
As far as OBJ goes, I don't know if that's one of Jerry Jones' little kind of voice. I'm kind of echoing here now.
Yeah, we're hearing an echo in the background.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hold on, let me get off my Bluetooth to my car. It might be me. Hold on.
We got him.
Okay. You know, and it may be Jerry Jones just throwing out some little ploy to get him to, you know, sign for a little less money because he doesn't have the money. They don't have the money to spend for him that maybe the Bills have or maybe that the Giants have, especially the Giants. They have more money to spend. So that may be just a ploy. I don't know. I'd like to see OBJ on the Cowboys. I think he could help that group of receivers. They've been playing well of late, but he's a talent. And or maybe it's just that because nobody has seen him run routes and he's going and he's visiting these teams, but he's just talking with them. He's not going through anything other than a basic physical for him. So maybe they're finding something there. I don't know. So it could be several things, but I'd like to see him on the team because he is such a talent. Rob?
Yeah. I'll touch on OBJ piece first, too. And obviously, as Andre mentioned earlier, it sounds as though he's not quite ready to play just yet. I think the thing we got to remember, he got hurt in the Super Bowl last year, and that was in February. And so, I mean, we're about at the 10th-month game here. I mean, guys are recovering from these injuries a lot faster than they normally are, than they used to, obviously. But he still is not even at the year mark from when he tore the ACL last year. So I could easily see him possibly not being ready. And all indications are it's not just the Cowboys that feel that way about his current status, but other organizations feel like he's not ready to play until January at the earliest, too. I mean, now January is a month away. You know, if you figure, you know, you may need him for the playoffs or anything like that, do you want to get yourself a head start in helping him with his rehabilitation and getting him ready for January? But it seems like there's just a lot of questions regarding his health right now. And that's the reason why we're not getting any movement or traction on his situation. You know, Jerry Jones mentioned, he says, I'm not going to sign anybody that can't help me right now. But he's saying now, today, that doesn't mean he won't revisit it, you know, come closer we get to the playoffs here if he's ready to play. So, I mean, he said right now, today. And it doesn't sound like he's ready to help them today. And as far as, you know, the picture, what was that, 1957 in that picture? Jerry Jones, if I had the right year, and LeBron James making that comment. And I agree, you know, I heard Jerry Jones made a comment this past week. Aren't you all glad that that was something to the fact that I'm glad that that was such a long time ago, aren't you all are too? I would have liked for him to give more details on that as opposed to just saying, aren't you all glad that that's such a long time ago? I would have loved for him to get more details. I thought he brushed that off way too quickly, in my personal opinion. So I totally agree with you on that one, Gary. I mean, I know it was a long time ago, but you got to give some type of explanation on that situation. And nobody, to LeBron James' point, nobody is going after him asking these questions. And and the media is giving them a break on this situation. I know he was young.
Absolutely.
I know it was a long time ago. But, if it was somebody else, they would be getting crucified over something like that, even though it happened 40-something or 6-7 years ago. So I thought he needed to give more of a response and say, aren't you all glad that was such a long time ago? I am. I think he's got to answer more to that. And the media just settled for that.
Well, and for me, this is this topic here is something that LeBron has done exceptionally well on. He's a platform, and this is something that Michael Jordan never did. Michael Jordan was just about basketball and only about basketball, never put himself out there for anything else. This is the one area that I definitely think LeBron is the GOAT in. He's got a platform as right now the NBA's best player, and he's using that platform to potentially bring some of the stuff to light. If Kyrie used to be crucified over his lousy comments and behavior, Jerry Jones should at minimum have to go on TV and explain themselves in a question and answer scenario, not just make a statement and then that's it. He needs to address this. I don't think it should be shoved under the carpet. And if I were Roger Goodell, he knows Jerry Jones hates his guts, and he hates Jerry Jones' guts. If I were Roger Goodell, I'd be that this owner hated my guts, man, I'm going to bring it up. Hey, we need to address this.
Yeah, no.
You don't want to. You're the one that's trying to get these people to not sign me up as commissioner. You're the one that's trying to get these people to not give me my pay raise. I'm going to get even with you. I'd be on Goodell's side for the first time in my life if he did that to Jerry
Jones.
He
can't do that.
And that's my team.
No, Goodell can't do that.
Goodell.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
I'll start with the OBJ thing. So, OBJ, yeah, when you don't want to go in and put on any pads or on any routes for any teams, that's the first indication that you're not ready to play. The second indication is he's already measured it because, he's going to only teams that he knows that he feels like can play deep into January to where he can get up to speed somewhat and be able to play with them and not have to play in December. So that's a part of it that you have to look at. I mean, I understand that he doesn't want to sign with a 4-8, 4-9 Rams team. But he's also calculated knowing I can't work out for them because they'll say, hey, he ain't ready, and I'm not going to be ready until January. So what's the point of signing with a bad team? So it's all that is together. So I get that piece of it. OBJ, he's got to be real careful because if he does that and he's not willing to go out there and put on the pass and show that he can run basic routes, and you said I want a multi-year deal, that's going to be hard to get because everybody's going to be like, now I'm banking on winning at least one playoff game before you can even get out there to help me. OBJ, why would I just not wait until the offseason and then have that conversation with you about it? So he's playing a really crazy shell kind of dice game. We'll see what that works out. As far as Jerry, I agree with you guys. Yeah. I don't think that Goodell can say that, though, because Jerry Jones has made all the owners so much money with the way that he's come out and been able to help the league market itself. Before him, they made some money, but they made a lot more money with Jerry Jones trying to divide it up and, hey, why are we only going with this one team? I'd rather have Pepsi than Coke. Like, if Coke works in your market, that's great, but I want Pepsi in Dallas, right? So those kind of things have helped make him a maverick, but it's also helped make the NFL a ton of money. So I don't know if Goodell could go against him in that just because of the money that Jerry Jones has brought in. But – big butt. But, yeah, Jerry Jones was 14, and I get it. We don't make all the greatest decisions when we're 14 years old, but right from wrong at 14 when you're looking out and looking down on it. And if the situation was reversed, a black dude would get a whole lot more questions, dragged, everything for that. So, yeah, that's crazy. But it's not crazy in the fact that that's the world that we live in. And I'm not surprised. I don't like it. But I'm not surprised at all that that's what has taken place with Jerry Jones, with his stature and his and more so his money and his influence. And they don't want to rock. They don't want to upset the apple cart of that dude helps me make money. So if I'm in the business of making money and helping myself, I'm not going to try to take this dude down. He helps make me money. So I'm going to try to let him let the storm blow over. I want the next big scandal to come up so we can stop talking about Jerry Jones. And that's where I think they are.
Well, and I understand that. Go ahead.
You sure? Go ahead, Gary. You can finish your thought, man. I don't cut you off.
Okay. You know, and I understand that, but I would like to see them. I would like to see Jerry Jones a little uncomfortable with this. If nothing more than to realize that, hey, you know, if you're a racist, you come out, you say, hey, I'm not a racist. I was 14 years old. I really didn't know what the hell was going on, whatever, you know. But he needs to say that, and there needs to be some dialect there. And I'd love to see Stephen A. Smith do it because he'd be right to the point. And he respects Jerry Jones as an owner, but he also hates the Cowboys. So I think it would be perfect for Stephen A. Smith to run that type of an interview. I'd love to see
but
that.
I wouldn't trust Stephen A. with it because he loves Jerry Jones and he doesn't want to get to those points for me because he doesn't want to dislike Jerry Jones. Like we've all been 14 and we don't all make the greatest decisions at 14. But when you're 14, you were a freshman or a 10th grader in high school and you saw somebody say something really crazy to another person, you knew that was wrong. Like, hey man, he called him fat. He talks about him because he was black or white or Asian or whatever. You knew in that moment when you saw that happen in the lunchroom or in geography class or wherever that happened when you was 14 on the basketball court, the football field, whatever, when you heard and saw that happen, you knew it was wrong. So I understand, and that's why I agree with you, Gary. You're 14. You're old enough to know that. We've all in our lives at 14 been around other 14-year-olds say crazy stuff to each other, and you were like, whoa. That was crazy wrong. Like, you might have laughed, you might have shrugged it off, but you knew in your mind, in your heart, that was wrong. So I don't buy that, oh, he was only 14 years old. You know good enough, well enough. He wasn't five. He was 14. You know.
Yeah, well,
you've been there in high school.
That's the disappointing part, though, JQ, because there's a lot of peer pressure, right? And you're not going to go against the grain whenever everyone is there, right? You may say that's wrong, but you got this crowd kind of mob mentality.
I agree. But that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
The whole point everybody says that that thing was 65
saying.
Years ago, and he was only 14. It was like, let's just stop saying he was only 14. You could say, hey, he was deep-rooted in the culture that he couldn't really feel comfortable speaking out against at that time. I'll give you that. But right now, he can speak out against it. But that whole, well, he was 14, so just give him a pass. I'm like, let's not just say that and let that be the end all of it.
I agree with what you're saying. I'm saying what I was trying to – my point was that, too. Yeah, like I said, you know, you're there's two parts to this. The first part is like, yeah, you know, you're 14. That's what's tough about a photo, right? Because, you know, you can make up any story about the photo. There's no video. There's no nothing. You know, he can say, oh, I was just there to see what was going on. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust what Jerry Jones says. Jerry could be saying, oh, man, where'd you get that picture from? So now you got to backtrack and say, well, this is what we can't go back in the time machine and see actually what's going on. We know one thing, he didn't stand up. He didn't, like, say this is wrong. He didn't, right? Because that incident happened. So that's what kind of talking what Gary's talking about. Yeah, it's an easy pass right now. Hey, you know, whatever. Aren't you glad this is – he can literally say anything he wants and get away with it. And the same thing about whenever Stephen A. Smith got on there, and he's a fan of Jerry Jones. He actually said, oh, we can't hold him accountable for something that was 65 years ago. He actually
said
that. Yes, you can. And I have a
– Yeah, I know.
We can, but that's what he said. And so I was
agree.
I was livid because one part is like I didn't like the response that Jerry said. Now you can say, "Oh, I'm not a racist," you know, because the times are different now. You know, we have social media, we have all of these things. You know, obviously Jerry's still going to own the Cowboys, little things like that. But it's just again your response to it. There's been some statements that he said about whenever Colin Kaepernick was new, and there's some things. There's a lot of patterns that you're following, and you know, again, that's what I'm still upset about. You know, because again, he's on the Cowboys. Nothing's going to change. He's still going to do that. But at least I want a pound of flesh as well. Like, bro, you have to sit here, make him feel uncomfortable as well. Like you said, Gary, it's not right. It's not right. And like I said, we can't go back in time. We don't know what the thing is, but I know damn for sure he wasn't standing up against the other guys, because that's the crowd mentality. He's probably like, hey, what's going on here? You know, he could be like, hey, let's help out. You have no idea. We have no idea.
Okay,
but
so he's also
situation.
From a family that made a whole bunch of oil money and whatnot. He knew exactly what was going on. He got a front row seat because he is from a powerful family that allows him to be in the front row. Other people had to be in the back because they couldn't even be there. So he knew, and I guess my thing is I agree with you on that. So I don't want to make it seem like I don't. I 100% agree. I just don't like that fact that the people say he's only 14, that's 65 years ago. That right is right and wrong is wrong. And you know what was right and what was wrong. And the fact that we can just let him say that and just keep it sliding until the next big thing is really an embarrassment and an indictment on the media and the people who want to hold certain people accountable but not others.
Right. That's fair. I know Rob's kind of dying, too. And that's the thing. It's a thing. You know, we're going to crucify Kyrie. He's going to be in the news for like 3-4 weeks. And, you know, we'll talk about that later. That's one of the conversation. But then, you know, you talk about Brett Favre gets a pass for what he did. You know, Jerry Jones gets a pass. And we're like, wait a minute, guys. Y'all sitting here and dragging everyone else in the mud. Y'all got to do the same exact thing. That's just what it is. You got to keep it fair, you know. But sometimes,
agreed.
Unfortunately, that's not what we're dealing with this society sometimes. And that's the frustrating part.
No, I agree with that.
I digress. We could be. I can talk to this topic like 20 minutes, but we do have to talk.
To end this topic right now, the only thing I would say is with us bringing this up, someone out there is listening. Someone out there is going to have that conversation maybe at their work or to their boss or to their wife or to their son or daughter, you know, and continue this conversation about what needs to happen. And maybe that in itself won't help the Jerry Jones situations, but maybe it'll help somebody else out to, you know, just a little clarification goes a long way, you know.
He's just hoping, Gary, that everyone just kind of like this kind of dies out. I can make a joke about it and it dies away because he's not getting those hard questions. So I'm with you. Finally, let's wrap up the OBJ thing. I don't know if you guys realize this, that that's the same knee that he actually tore, or the same ACL that he injured back in 2020 when he was with the Browns. So that's another reason why it's taking a little longer for him to get well, too. So, you know, again, we agree with you, JQ. He's definitely not running any routes. He's kind of like sitting back and seeing what's happening with that, too. So there's a lot of dynamics with that injury, too. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on that. Let's keep it going here. We got 20 minutes left in the show. I want to get through a couple of topics here. Let's get into these predictions here. We got the big-time game here, a rematch of the Jets at the Bills. Rob, I'm going to let you kind of jump into this and get started because you've been kind of quiet. So jump into this and get your thoughts on this particular matchup.
Bills. I think they might be in the corner and getting hot again.
Wow.
They
really
went
out on the
Yep. I don't think there's a whole lot to add, you know. Bills.
Mike White,
yeah,
Bills.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, we all got the Bills.
If you're the Bills, you can't lose to them twice. If you're everybody's
right.
Cinderella, and not Cinderella, but betting favorite, and hey, Josh Allen, he's the best dude out here. You can't lose to the Jets and Mike White for the second loss against the Jets, because right now, I believe they only have one division win. So you can't lose that game, Buffalo.
It's the Patriots this past Thursday night was the only division win, Buffalo was 3-0 on Thursdays, though. This is a Sunday game, I believe, so we'll see. Thursday's been their night.
Yeah, right.
No, even I like the Bills. Bills all day.
Yeah, it's at the Bills, too. Hey, the next game, we got the Eagles at the Giants here. Is this the proverbial trap game for the Eagles? Go ahead.
I'm going to be just as quick as I was on the first one. The Giants, they were lucky to get a tie this past weekend. So they are 0-2-1 in their last three games. They seem to be kind of falling back down to earth a little bit in these games here. I mean, they're lucky if they score more than 23 points in the football game. But, yeah, the Eagles are just going to – they're not going to be able to keep a pace with the Eagles in that offense. A.J. Brown, man, we talked about him earlier on the show.
He got that man fired.
Early in this game. And then we talked about that. That was the reason why John Robinson got fired, because they couldn't reach a contract agreement with him.
Got that man fired.
You know, when you look at how well the Eagles contained Derrick Henry in that game, too, and I know they got behind big and they kind of got away from the running game a little bit, but I thought the Eagles did a phenomenal job playing the run in that game and contained Derrick Henry a good bit. A very impressive game by the Eagles. Jalen Hurts was just one of his better games of the season. I thought, you know, throwing the football, it's mixing in a little bit of run as well. Even without Dallas Goedert right now, Miles Sanders and the two wide receivers, A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, I mean, they just seem to have it going right now. And Tennessee is not one of those kind of teams you're normally going to just beat by 25, 30 points. I mean, they're a physical team. They're going to be competitive. They're definitely capable of being beat, but you usually don't win a dog fight and just blow them out by like 20, 30 points. They're just not one of those kind of teams you normally blow out in. And they made them look like a junior varsity team in the ninth grade.
Yeah, and the thing about it, too, is that, you know, when Burks goes out with the concussion, he's the only one that you can somewhat threaten defense. So, and you don't have any trust with Tannehill. So you can load the box against Derrick Henry, and we have Slay on one side going against dude that would be a number one wide receiver on no other team except for maybe Houston, then you can have those kind of results. So I wasn't surprised at that at all, especially after Burks went out. But, yeah, Philadelphia, bro, the Giants are coming back to earth with the same thing. Like, I like Darius Slayton, but he should be your second or third wide receiver, and he's your number one wide receiver at this point because Kenny Golladay is just the worst signing of all time. You load the box against Saquon and Daniel Jones is running the building, and you say, beat me with this wide receiver core. I just can't see that happening against Darius Slay, even though they had the loss with Gardner Johnson got hurt with the kidney. But I just don't think the Giants have enough offensively on the outside to threaten anybody when you can put Darius Slay on one side and lock it down. So, yeah, Eagles all day.
Eagles all day, huh? Eagles all day for two of you, huh? Well, Curtis and I are going the other way. We're going with the Giants.
Because that's what you want. Because that's what you want.
That is what we want.
That's a Cowboy pick.
But we also know that every year there's one or two of those teams that get that big signature win in the NFC East against the other one, and this just happens to be the Giants week. The Giants are going to upset the Eagles.
Now, you might say it now,
but when we are on the podcast this next week, I want an apology.
The team that you could think that could happen to do that outside
that
of Dallas,
year.
The team outside of the NFC that can do that besides Dallas is the Commanders. It's not the Giants. So if they were playing Washington, I could give you that because they got McLaurin and they have a run game now too and Logan Thompson and all that. They could possibly do it because they have a more balanced defense. The Giants are not good in the secondary either. So, no. Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Well, you might see the NFC East in the playoffs, every one of them.
You probably will, but that's
just
an indictment. That's an indictment on the NFC. That's not, I mean, the NFC East is playing good ball, so I'm not going to take that away from them. But that's also an indictment on the rest of the NFC, especially with Garoppolo getting hurt for San Francisco. I know everybody's on the Purdy train, but come on, man. Listen, that's the NFC problem. That's not necessarily because the East is just that great. It's a process of elimination. Who else is going to get those other three spots outside of the division winners? Maybe the Seahawks.
Well, the NFC
maybe.
East is the toughest division in football.
The AFC East would like to have a conversation about that, but I digress.
Wow. White Mike Vick, man. Come on, man. Don't go against White Mike Vick, man. What you doing, man?
Vanilla Vick, baby. Vanilla Vick.
That's right. I didn't get that right. I screwed that up. It's all good. Hey, we got about 10 minutes here. I do want to kind of talk because we're going to wrap this up at 12. I want to kind of pick and choose a quick topic here because we're going to go, like, past this. But I do want to briefly talk about a big-time story. I know you guys can say whatever you want to, but I want to talk about Prime going to Colorado. Didn't think this was going to happen, but – initially, I saw some of the videos and just the facilities are freaking amazing. And me and Marcia were watching this, and it was amazing to see him just, like, they rolled out the red proverbial carpet for him, man. So he was like, I'm in, you know. So
until they said they didn't have a budget in the athletic department for it.
That's another conversation, too, but still.
Yeah, they said, yeah. They didn't know how they were going to pay him.
They're going to pay him, yeah. Well, that's a problem. That's a problem. But I think he's got enough money in endorsement. Yeah, you want money, too, but I still say that's a step up from – a huge step up from, you know, not that we're, you know, talking about Jackson State anything like that, but just the facilities were amazing, just the practice field, just virtual no crime. He was just mesmerized that that's what kind of the, you know, money that he had, too, you know, being in that situation, too. So that's a huge ripple effect. You know, again, I'm not saying I'm like a disciple of Deion, but I'm just a huge fan, man. So I appreciate him getting an opportunity. I know he's an impactful guy with just men, young guys. You know, he spoke at, you know, our church one time. So I just had a chance to connect with him. So just, I'm just happy to see the brother do something. And I know he's getting some hate on the other side, and it would be great for him to stay at, you know, Jackson for 100 years like Eddie Robinson. But Eddie Robinson maybe not getting the opportunities that Kiki Deion gets. But it's just good to finally see him doing some things. And Colorado's, you know, yeah, they're getting some recruits, man. So we'll see how that's the impact, what's happening with the Pac-12 for sure, man. So I'm excited, you know. Hell, man, I'm a fan of Colorado, man, so let's go, man. So that's my little two-thing about.
Yeah.
Goddamn, you're
fan
of everything.
This is a bittersweet move, too, because obviously, I know, I think we talked about this on the show, too. You would like to see him stay at HBCU and kind of build that legacy like Eddie Robinson has.
Of course.
Different times.
On the same token, this is what we've been asking for out of big-time college football, right? Give some qualified black coaches an opportunity, and Colorado is doing that, right? And so, you know, I know there's a lot of people in the African-American community who's got mixed feelings on this one. And but at the same token, like I said, this is what we've been asking for, is to see a big-time Power 5 conference give an African-American an opportunity to be a head football coach. So we can't argue with this. And, you know, I know people, oh, he's not swag and all this kind of stuff like that. But this is what we've been asking for, to give these guys a chance, give them that opportunity. You know, we can't argue with an opportunity for promotion here, if you're looking at it from Deion Sanders' perspective. Chuck, even Nick Saban went and at least tried the NFL. It didn't work. He went back to college. So in Deion's mm-hmm. case, if it doesn't work, he can go back to the SWAC, right? But, you know, he wants to see if he can coach on a higher level, Pac-12. It might be the Pac-3 when it's all done. But, you know, but in all serious note, though, I mean, obviously it's a Power 5 school still. We've seen Colorado have some success, particularly in the 90s. You look at Cordell Stewart, Michael Westbrook,
Eric Bieniemy,
all those guys, yep, on the team. And, you know, he was able to recruit players to come to Jackson State. And Travis Hunter is following him to Colorado. He's already said, I'm going with you. His son is probably going to go with him. He's going to be able to get recruits to come to Colorado because of his name and who he is.
Yep.
And,
already there.
And he's got a connection in Texas already. He's got a connection in California. He's got connections in Florida. He's got connections in Georgia. So he's going to be able to, and those are four states right there alone, a major high school recruiting hotbeds right there alone. So he's going to be able to get some guys in the front door to come and compete for him, even at a Colorado. So we'll see. You know, he turns it around. You know, Big Ten might come from Colorado, too.
So let me quickly put a couple points on that. One, you got to get off the Eddie Robinson thing, because Eddie Robinson is in a different generation to where he couldn't have these opportunities that Deion had, that he basically had to do that early on. And by the time people were on the Eddie Robinson train, he was later in his coaching career. And you don't want to see his legacy get tainted by him trying to move somewhere and go somewhere, and it's not a good opportunity. And he's Sylvester Croom in Mississippi State, and you're like, well, that didn't work out. Well, yeah, because it was Mississippi State. So I'm glad that Eddie Robinson stayed, but you can't put him in that same vein with that, because it's a whole different time period.
The opportunity is one
second
day.
Of all, good point.
And that was just commenting on what some people are saying,
No. I'm saying I agree. I know why you brought it up. But I'm saying I'm just putting that out there so people can understand if they're listening that you can't compare that because that's not an apples-to-apples comparison to me. The second part about it is that for me, for Colorado, I still would like to see us get more opportunities because that's an easy hire for Colorado. Where they are right now, to go get Deion and his star shining so bright, they're not going to go get an uncovered gem and give that dude a chance. They're getting Deion Sanders, right? So I'll pause it a little bit on the whole, well, we're getting the opportunities because while I'm glad for Deion, don't get me wrong, it's easy to hire Deion Sanders right now if you're Colorado. It's not easy for them
it's
to go get Eric Bieniemy or somebody else. It is. It's easier because he's got his star so bright right now that he's proven himself some way, Jackson State, to win. Like, they're not going – these aren't Colorado going to get somebody who's the offensive coordinator at school X where you're like, wow, they really gave that dude a chance. Like, nobody knows about him, and they really did their homework and gave him an opportunity. Like, he's Deion Sanders. Mm-hmm. So I'll pause a little bit on that. I want to see them keep happening across the landscape where they give more African-Americans the opportunity who are Deion Sanders, don't have that name, all that cachet that comes with it. Third piece of it is that's a good move for Deion. You look at it, you talk about it going to the Pac-3. You got USC and UCLA leaving to go to the Big Ten. He's really now only really got to deal with Oregon. So all that stuff that he can do and bring that you just talked about makes him a major player to be able to take over
in
the Pac-12 or the Pac-whatever. Yeah, well, okay, in Utah. But you know what I mean. He hasn't. He don't have to deal with the L.A. schools. Stop it.
Washington.
So he doesn't have to deal with those USC and UCLA are the – we talked about it. If the Pac-12 wanted to be great, the two teams we've talked about for years now is that they had to have USC at one and it helps to have, bring UCLA along behind it with the L.A. schools, with the market, and all the name cash that they have to make the Pac-12 a viable contender. So with them leaving and him going to Colorado, he can take over and run that conference. It's not like going to Auburn and having to deal with Alabama and LSU and Georgia. It's not that same thing. So, yes, it's a good move for him because he can go and be the face of the Pac-12 for the next couple of years before he makes his next move. Because make no mistake about it, Colorado is still just another stepping stone to another job he's going to take in the next five years. I believe that.
Absolutely.
And if he does well in Colorado, which I believe he will, with his ability to recruit and his ability to coach, I think he's going to be very successful at Colorado,
talked
about. And with that said, I believe his next move will not be in the college ranks. I think it'll be to the NFL.
I still think y'all can end up
at
Florida State.
Yeah.
I believe y'all can end up at Florida State.
But, yeah.
I still think that's his dream job in Florida State.
Agreed.
Yeah, we agree. We agree. He's just trying to get his, put what they said. He's got to put the work in. But this is my last statement, and I apologize. We definitely went on a little tangent. And I think, my thing is Georgia Tech is a piece of crap. We get it, that's my only little thing because I'm just upset that at least they didn't make a call. Like, you didn't even, consider this, man, because that's the upsetting part, that you had a situation that, he could have brought some shine and brought some, maybe it's not a good fit because academics and stuff like that too. But it's just upsetting that you didn't even this is a guy,
man.
He's an instant star. And I know Georgia Tech is crap. I get it, but at least you can
It's not that. I think they already knew that Colorado was probably the leader for, and it was like, we're not going to probably get him, so they didn't really go put the eggs in that basket. They all communicate in the same circle.
You got to at least do that. Yeah.
They communicate in the same circle, though.
Do something, man. Go out, man, I'm paying you $10. Do something. That's all. But like I said, I know that we're crap, but it's just,
I didn't say that.
It's just frustrating.
If you already know that dude is going this place, then why even do that piece of it if you know he's already leaning to this place? So if they knew that, then you got to give Georgia Tech a break is all I'm saying.
That's fair, too, but go ahead, Rob. We got to end this up. Go ahead, man. Probably 5 minutes after. Go ahead, Rob.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion of the show tonight. We had a great show talking to the NFL and college football on with you all tonight. Thanks for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Next Tuesday night, we're going to be right back at you on the East Coast. We want to hear from y'all. Philadelphia, New York. You know, we've got a big matchup this weekend. We want to hear from y'all on the East Coast, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We definitely want to hear from you guys. Central Time Zone, that's going to be 10 p.m. Central. Mountain, Colorado, Denver, Boulder. We want to hear from y'all. Hey, you like signing to Deion Sanders as head coach in Colorado? Want to hear from y'all in the Mountain Town Zone, 9 p.m. Mountain. And out west, California, Oregon, Washington, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Good night, people.
Hey, I know I was late. I'm sorry, y'all.
Back to Supersonics.
But, good Lord, let's go. I need you, Ohio State. I need you in the worst way living here in Atlanta. Oh, my goodness. I need you. And one time for my Bengals, knocking off the Chiefs, when people didn't think we could do it, hey, man. The Chiefs, the Bengals ain't scared of the Chiefs. We're going to find out how they fare against the Bills on the second. I'm going to try to be in the building. But, whoo, you talking about somebody that was on cloud nine on Sunday? Your boy was on cloud nine on Sunday.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I know we didn't have a show on last week, but I would have I had the Bengals winning that game. I know it's easy for me to say that now after the fact, but I really did thought the Bengals could win that game at home with the way they've been playing of late, too.
They don't fear the Chiefs. Like, there's teams, like, we can't beat the Browns. We can't stop Nick Chubb. But we can beat Patrick Mahomes.
Bro,
they believe they can beat Patrick Mahomes. Yeah.
They
they don't fear him. Yeah, 3-0 in the calendar year. But the thing about it is that, you know, some teams match up better, and we don't match up great with the Browns. But for whatever reason, those boys do not fear the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's wild to see, and I love it. We're going to find out how much they fear or should fear.
Thing.
It's a great thing.
That's,
so
that's a good
we'll
thing.
Find out.
In the AFC, it's a good thing to not fear the Chiefs, to have their number, be that team that has the number. Because if I think of another team that does, can you?
No, and they believe, and it's wild, and it's like once you put now you put a fear in them of can we beat that team, and they got Patrick Mahomes, and they're thinking about us when they've not had to think about anybody really. Since they've got Patrick Mahomes. So, you know, that made me ecstatic. I love the moxie they have and their no fear. But, again, they got to also show that against the Bills because the Bills and the Chiefs are the front runners. We've talked about it for the past couple of years. We talked about it this year for sure, being the cream of the crop in the AFC. So we got to find out what they're made of when they play the Bills. So I'll reserve judgment in terms of putting them in the top five like we like to do every week until that matchup happens. But, hey, I'll take it. You got to – baby.
Yeah, that's good stuff. We were all sitting back like, you know, like, yeah, just congratulate you too, man, because, you know, like I said, the Bengals look like they're getting confident and obviously Chase came back. I mean, this was kind of the perfect storm, too. And the Chiefs, they're a dogfight, too, so they know there's a couple squads that, you know, like you said, they're not scared of them, too. Like, you know, Bills, Chiefs have classic, and now we got the Bengals in them, too. So, good stuff. Hey, I know we want to wrap up pretty quickly, so I'm going to give you guys – I want to give you guys the opportunity to talk about any topic you want to talk about. I know we kind of went off topic. That's on me. I apologize. But we're going to go around the horn, do your last little topic, and we'll wrap up the show because I know we wanted to get out by 12 just to kind of keep it going, too. So, Curtis Gary, anything you want to talk about? The floor is yours, and we can wrap it up after everyone goes around the horn.
Yeah, we'll do the top five teams as it stands right now. I do have the Eagles at number one.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis and I do. We do have Cowboys at number two, ahead of the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
I give you congrats because you put the Eagles up there. Wow, that's a big time.
That's my exact top five too. I have the Eagles number one, Cowboys two, Bills three, Chiefs four, Vikings five. So I have them in the exact same order. As far as top five teams in the league. I'll briefly talk about the AFC and NFC playoff picture here. So you look at the AFC right now, you got the Bills in the one spot, Chiefs two. I talked about this earlier. Even though the Ravens are three, I think they're going to fall down here with the Lamar Jackson injury. So I fully expect the Bengals to eventually be in that three spot in the AFC and winning that division. The Titans are going to win the Central just because the Central is
cool. Not the Central,
right?
The South. You old bastard.
The South.
The South.
You old bastard.
fix on the bench. I love that.
Oh, man, I'm back.
I really do go way back. Huh? We had the East-West.
I was whittling away. I'm totally used to that.
Oh, man, Gary, I'm getting in your league, man.
Yeah. Welcome.
Welcome. Oh, my God. Then the Dolphins and the Jets, of course, in the 6-7 spot. The Patriots and the Chargers still on the outside looking in. The NFC is going to be interesting, too. The Eagles 1, Vikings 2. The 49ers and Bucks at 3-4. Cowboys at 5, even though they're a much better team than probably two or three teams seeded higher than them.
Ooh, they got to play
the Eagles and Cowboys in the same division. Cowboys are going to have to make most of their playoff run on the road. So it's going to be interesting to see how that's going to pan out. The Giants are 6. I think they're going to fall out. The Seahawks are in 7, and the Commanders are at 8. I can easily see the Commanders and the Giants kind of eventually swapping places and the Giants falling out of the division. Yeah. Top 5 bowl
game.
Peach Bowl, Ohio State, Georgia. JQ mentioned it.
Number 1.
Hey, those out of the 4 playoff teams, they're the 2 teams with the most talent, and they get to play in the first round. So there's definitely a number 1 in my book. Even though Michigan beat them, Ohio State definitely has more talent. Out of the 4 teams, these are the 2 teams definitely more the NFL prospect. But you got to put the Fiesta Bowl number 2, TCU and Michigan, just because of the playoff game. 3 other bowls that's intriguing to me is the Alamo Bowl, Washington and Texas. You know, I'm interested to see the quarterback play in these games. Michael Penix Jr. And Texas is offensively been coming on as well. So to me, that's an intriguing game to watch, only for local reasons. But the Cotton Bowl, USC and Tulane. Tulane early in the year
went on
the road and beat Kansas State.
Come on, bro.
Tulane went on the road and beat Kansas State, Big 12 champion, and whipped them, too, early in the season. So I know that was early in the season. So I like to see how Tulane will match up against USC in the Cotton Bowl. And last but not least, even though Tennessee is without their starting quarterback, Joe Milton is adequate backup, I'm interested to see Clemson in Tennessee. In the Orange Bowl, too. So
my goodness.
I would like to see.
Man, you reached to get to 5 because those are terrible. The NFC picture to me is wild because the Cowboys get a lot of hate, and it's because of the America's Team thing, and I get it. You know, like, I don't hate the Cowboys like that, but they get a lot of hate. But, man, if they have to go to Tampa, because I feel like that's what it's going to end up as, they're going to have to go to Tampa as the 5 and go play Tom Brady in Tampa because they're going to win a terrible division in the NFC South and have to knock off Tom Brady. Oh, that is going to be – not only is it going to be wildly entertaining, it's probably going to be one of the highest-rated football games of the year. That's going to be crazy wild. Listen. I hear everything that y'all saying, but I will give you a side story. I was out watching the game last night with somebody who's somewhat annoying as a Saints fan, and he made the whole bar mad, and everybody was started rooting against the Saints. And then Tom Brady came back. That dude had to walk straight out the bar and didn't say nothing. Like, it was hilarious. And I'm sorry, Rob, it wasn't anything to do with you. He was not representing you in a great way. So that's why I say that piece about it. So that's why I look at that as being wildly entertaining. Another piece that I'll mention is I'm really interested to see, and I know I'm biased because I'm a Big Ten guy. I'm going to see Penn State and Utah in the Rose Bowl. Like, I feel like that's going to be a really good game. And I was really surprised that you didn't mention that in one of your top 5. Like, Utah has shown you with Cam Rising and what they were able to do to Caleb Williams, not once, but twice. And the second time, they beat the brakes off USC in that Pac-12 championship game.
Man, they were a physical team, too.
Yeah, they were. And I want to see what James Franklin's sorry ass can do because he can't win the big game to save his life. I want to see what he does against that Utah team in the Rose Bowl because they were saying that the Rose Bowl was going to take Penn State over Ohio State if Ohio State hadn't made it to the college football playoff because they feel like Ohio State was treating the Rose Bowl as a –
consolation prize, and people were going to opt out, and they were going to take Penn State anyway. So now you get Penn State against that Utah team. I'm really interested to see how that plays out.
Yep.
Eric, Curtis, what you got? Is it your last thing?
I got nothing. I'm done. I could
say,
next week I want the Patriots on as part of our topic. I've got a lot to say about the Patriots, so I'll keep that for next week.
Of course, Gary. For you, man.
I think Gary and JQ may get a kick out of this. Of course, I was at that game last night here in Tampa, the Saints and the Bucks. And there was a guy, it was a Buccaneers fan sitting three rows behind me. And all night long, all he kept saying to the Buccaneers defense, it's Andy freaking Dalton. Come on, defense.
Listen, you know what's – okay, so you know what's crazy? And I mentioned the story about watching it out at the bar with some friends and the dude that's the Saints fan. So when it was 16-3 and my buddy sits next to me, he says, oh, man, the Saints are winning this game. I said, hold tight. It's still Tom Brady. So when Tom Brady goes and gets that touchdown and make it 16-10, and they cut to Andy Dalton looking nervous as hell on the side, I say, oh, yeah, the Saints is in trouble. He just threw up in his mouth. He don't want no parts of this pressure of having to go out here and try to win this game. And if he didn't go out there and look horrible, it was bad play calling, too. And that's on Dennis Allen. But I looked at him on the sideline.
I
said,
getting that first down.
Don't have that one pass over the middle that absolutely should have been caught. That was just the guy got hit. I mean, and that was an absolute dime that he threw there. And that,
he did.
That
actually played well last night.
Listen,
I will say that. I thought he was good last night.
His face on the sideline when it got to be 16-10. I said the Saints are in trouble. Andy Dalton don't want no parts of this pressure. And he went out there and went 3-and-out. I was like, yep, I told you. Andy Dalton is not that dude. He's a front runner. If you get a good defense and the players around him, he's straight. But when Tom Brady made it 16-10 and that camera panned to him on the sideline, I said, the Saints are in trouble. I'm just being honest with you.
I did see that, but I didn't.
Man, them dudes, the Saints have been inventing ways to find
like
ways to lose this year.
Oh, my God.
I ended on that.
They invent
that.
A new way every week to lose.
This is my
Andy
last
Dalton,
thing
bro.
To wrap this up. Yeah, this is my last thing. Andy Dalton and Fitzpatrick, right? It was great cracking. But I'm going to end on this. I want to say, Rob, thank you for putting that little tidbit about Kyle Kuzman. I didn't realize that the Hawks and the Suns were actually interested in trading for him. I don't think it's going to happen now because Washington's like, yo, what? But I do want to mention that 2017 draft class is falling out. If you go back to that class, Donovan Mitchell, DeAndre Fox, Markin, Bam Adebayo, Kuzma, Anaboy, you talk about an amazing draft class, if you will, too.
Yeah.
So thank you for that tidbit, because I was like, oh, I don't know how they're going to pull this off, because, you know, Kyle has been the kind of heart and soul of Washington right now, too. So I don't know if they're ready to trade him. They may think that he may be the building block as much as we want to hate on Bradley Beal, but Kuzma may be that dude, man. So it's interesting to see how he's been playing extremely well on an all-star level, too. So, I mean, I don't know what's going to take to get
you know,
to cry that piece off.
Yeah. Hey, I'll always
I'm
be
a
guy on Kuzma. If y'all remember
yes,
my
sir.
Draft coverage that year, you know, I talked about him a lot pre-draft and a lot
he
of
did.
The,
he did.
You know, a lot. And, I mean, I know he got 27. I think he was picked 27th overall that year.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I was really high on him coming into the league that year. So, I mean, not an all-star player, but obviously I think he's a piece that can help a lot of teams, you know, as far as especially teams that make a deep playoff run. So he's definitely a piece. Definitely a piece. I don't know what the Hawks will give up to get him. I mean, because if you're the Hawks, I wouldn't want to trade DeAndre Hunter, John
Shit.
Collins, anybody like that for him. I don't
know.
Talk
about John Collins. That guy, John Collins, is always the guy in the church. John Collins. I'm like, damn, John. Yeah. That's the dude that's what we're talking about. I don't know if that's the – I don't know if that's – we'll see.
Yeah,
that's
because they have a glut at center now. So, yeah, you trade John Collins. I like Kyle Kuzma for that team. I do. I worry about him living in Atlanta. But
Kuzma?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah.
I 100% worry about him living in Atlanta. But, yeah, yes. With Murray and Trae Young.
You look at that draft, though. You mentioned that draft in 2017, Dre. Markelle Fultz went number one, and he's the guy that haven't lived up to the billing. You know, but you mentioned that, you know, Jason Tatum, obviously number three, DeAndre Fox, number five. Those two guys have been and you look at Sacramento right now, they're like one top five teams in the Western Conference right now. And a lot of that due to the way De'Aaron Fox is playing. Donovan Mitchell is in MVP conversation so far this season. Man, he's just been lights
out.
He's
balling out with the Cleveland. Man, that's talking about a move that just opened up.
See,
man,
he put up 43
like,
points tonight.
That's all because that's in there.
I'm
getting off the phone. I'm getting off the phone. I want to talk about that. I only because Anthony Davis was sick. I'm not even listening to this. Okay, I'm not talking to y'all no more.
Hey, man, I had to sit up and listen to Danny Dalton throwing up in his mouth.
True.
And us blowing another lead.
True statement.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to take your ass whooping like a man.
I know.
Hey, man, we appreciate that. Like I said, thank you so
what
much.
What
are you, man,
told Charlie Steiner in that commercial?
Charlie, where you at? Come on in here and get your whooping.
All right. I'm going to bed. Y'all stupid.
Appreciate you. Thanks, Curtis. Thanks, Gary. For you, Gary, next week we're going to put the Patriots up at number one so we can talk about how much you love the demise of the Patriots right now, too. So that's going to be the topic.
You might as well put
save a couple things.
Rob, you might as well put it on the topics next week because that's the first thing that's coming out of my mouth anyway.
Good stuff. All right, gentlemen. Man. We appreciate you guys.
Come on,
these fans,
it's Andy Freak and Dalton.
Awesome. I cannot believe we're here. All right, guys. Have a great rest of your evening for tomorrow. Great week. I'm sure we'll be talking and texting throughout the week as well. Gentlemen, have fun.
Yes,
we'll talk to you next week. Be good.
Good night, fellas.
All right, fellas. Talk to y'all later.